Today's reading is from Acts chapter 20, verses 13 to 32. Paul decided to travel by land to Assos. The rest of us went on ahead by ship, and we were to take him aboard there. When he met us in Assos, he came aboard, and we sailed on to Mytilene. The next day, we came to a place near Chios, and the following day, we reached Samos. The day after that, we sailed to Miletus. Paul had decided to sail on past Ephesus because he did not want to spend too much time in Asia. He was in a hurry and wanted to be in Jerusalem in time for Pentecost. From Miletus, Paul sent a message for the church leaders at Ephesus to come and meet with him. When they got there, he said, "You know everything I did during the time I was with you, when I first came to Asia. Some of the Jews plotted against me and caused me a lot of sorrow and trouble, but I served the Lord and was humble. When I preached in public and taught in your homes, I didn't hold back from telling anything that would help you. I told Jews and Gentiles to turn to God and have faith in our Lord Jesus. I don't know what will happen to me in Jerusalem, but I must obey God's Spirit and go there. In every city I visit, I am told by the Holy Spirit that I will be put in jail and will be in trouble in Jerusalem. But I don't care what happens to me, as long as I finish the work that the Lord Jesus gave me to do, and that work is to tell the good news about God's great kindness. I have gone from place to place, preaching to you about God's kingdom, but now I know that none of you will ever see me again. I tell you today that I am no longer responsible for any of you. I have told you everything God wants you to know. Look after yourselves and everyone the Holy Spirit has placed in your care. Be like shepherds to God's church. It is the flock that he bought with the blood of his own son. I know that after I am gone, others will come like fierce wolves to attack you. Some of your own people will tell lies to win over the Lord's followers. Be on your guard. Remember how day and night for 3 years I kept warning you with tears in my eyes. I now place you in God's care. Remember the message about his great kindness. This message can help you and give you what belongs to you as God's people." Amen, and may God bless this reading of his word. So, in this passage from Acts, we're told that Paul is keen to get to Jerusalem and went on alone for the first part of the journey, while his followers went on a boat journey to Assos, which was about 20 miles. And the first slide shows you Assos just about the centre top, and you can then follow down to Mytilene, Chios, Samos, and finally to Miletus. And you can see Ephesus just there as well. And so it is quite a journey. Now, Paul does not give a reason as to why he went on his own for that part of the journey, and he probably went on foot. Maybe he wanted time on his own to plan, reflect, and draw close to God in preparation for what lay ahead for him. Maybe the sea was rough and he didn't want to sail that particular piece of water. We don't know. But he did join the rest of the followers at Assos, and they all sailed the 44 miles down to Mytilene, the chief town on the island of Lesbos, and from there to Chios the next day, and a day later to Samos, and finally on to their final destination at Miletus, which was 30 miles south of Ephesus. So it would be quite a journey. They didn't have the luxury cruise liners that we sail around that area today. They would be in sailing boats, probably not too comfortable. And my calculation is it took them around 3 days. But we're told that Paul was in a hurry. He wanted to get to Jerusalem for Pentecost. So he did not stop at Ephesus. But however, he did want to speak to the elders at Ephesus. And so he sent a message to them. And I wonder what they thought when they got that message. Why did Paul not stop at Ephesus? He passed by on the road. So why did he not stop? Now they had to go the 30 miles down to Miletus. But for the elders, this did not seem to be an issue. They just duly dropped everything and went to meet Paul. And I think this gives us a bit of an insight into the presence of Paul, the respect that he was held in, the high regard that Paul was held in by the early Christian church. The elders were asked to meet Paul, and they went. If we were asked to attend a meeting with a senior figure in the Church of Scotland, would we agree to just drop everything, possibly walk 30 miles to a meeting? Or would we say we needed to check our diaries? Were we free that day? We would need more notice. We couldn't just drop everything. But the elders at Ephesus did just that. The early Christian church was hungry for the message that Paul had. He had given them all the message about Jesus, how they should live, and how they should spread the good news of Jesus. But the message Paul gave them, I'm sure, would fill them with sadness and some anxiety, as the elders learned that this would be the last time they would meet with Paul. He was going to Jerusalem, then on to Rome, where his future was uncertain, but it was highly probable that he would be tortured, imprisoned, possibly killed for his faith. He had not invited them to Miletus to hear him preach, but to say farewell and to reflect on the 3 years he had spent with them, which was the longest he had spent anywhere. He was going to reflect with them his ministry and how they should carry on their ministry, how to care for the Christians in their care, and how to minister to them, to share the love of God with them. Paul was also concerned that when he was not around, the church could be influenced by people who claimed to speak from God, but were really giving followers the wrong message. He wanted to ensure that the church leaders recognized the true message of God and be confident in sharing this against people who might preach a different message and bring division in the church. Paul is concerned for his sheep and the flock he has cared for and nurtured. He needs to know that God is there and that he calls him to Jerusalem. He's provided enough nourishment, though, for this flock. His teachings are there, and the elders have the strength and the faith to nourish the flock. They just need that reassurance. So as we've journeyed through Acts over the last few weeks, we're getting a feeling of what the early church looks like. And so what does the church today maybe begin to look like? And so I wondered, what kind of church do we want? Do we want a bit on the left and it says, let's see, Pastor Leyland, has Thursday open? Or would you prefer regular or quality time? And on the other side, caring for each other. So do we want a church where we maybe just give a little bit of lip service? We're really too busy to care for people, so we'll just scratch the surface. Or do we want to be in a church where we really do care for each other? I think it's the caring church that we would all agree we would want to be in. And we have a responsibility to care for our community. But how do we reach the community at these difficult times? Do we need to move out of our comfort zone to bring people to Christ? The church is where everyone has a part to play, to be involved and be part of God's team. If we are the church really needing to share, we need to really share the gospel of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ with all people. In today's climate, we see that a lot of people have no faith, and they watch us as Christians, and they see how we live. Do we live our lives as we should? Are we good witnesses to Jesus? Do people see something in our lives that they would like and make them want to follow us and be a follower of Jesus as well? As a church, we are open to all people. Or do we want to concentrate on those that we are comfortable with, the people who fit into our church family, those who will fit in socially, those whom we are comfortable with? But Paul learned through Christ that he had to look past social status, look at the social misfit, because God loves all of us. He loves the social misfit as much as anybody else. Paul preached to please God, not to please man. He preached without prejudice to Jew and Gentile. We all have the potential to influence others by what we do and say. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul tells the Corinthians, "You should follow my example, just as I follow Christ." And he also says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 to 15, "Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up in him who is the head, that is Christ." Sometimes today it seems that our society certainly knows how to follow the crowd. We learn it from childhood when we use the peer pressure phrase, "Everybody's doing it." Can you remember as a child saying to your parents, "Can I go to the disco or the picture house?" And your parents say, "No, you can't go." And so that often brought the frequently used phrase, "It's no fair, everybody else is going." And possibly a big strop at the same time, but if your parents were like mine, the answer was still no. But we often continue that into our adult life, as we don't want to stand out from the crowd. We want to fit in. We want to be liked, and so we can be swayed by those around us. And Paul is telling the elders of Ephesus to be strong in their faith and be Christ-like, not to be swayed by what is happening around them, but keep focused on Christ in order that they can continue to keep the church and Christianity strong in Ephesus. Keep to the teachings Paul has given them. So we as a church need to remain focused on the teachings of Christ, and by following his example, spread the gospel to those we come into contact with through our words and actions, thus ensuring a strong Christian presence in this community. Amen.